I want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight to our Bible study at Waldo Baptist. Seems like I've been there for 6 months, but we're still there. Last Sunday evening, I was talking to you about an illustration about a thing that I would draw out and sometimes use when I was witnessing to someone or talking to them about salvation. And I didn't finish that, and I thought about it later, and I thought, well, why don't you just draw it out and let them see what you was talking about? So that's what I did. I don't draw very well. I can't draw a stick man with a ruler. But this is what I'm talking about. I told you to draw a circle, and then in that circle, I just put X's. Just put X's. You say, well, what are those X's? Well, those are everything that make up an individual's life. His work, his family, his recreation, his friends, his acquaintances, his hobbies, where he goes, what he does. Everything that makes up an individual's life. We're saved from was our empty or vain way of life. If you never understood. So the problem was this S here is self. I thought everything revolved around me. I thought it revolved around my decision. So my life was just, so I lived a life that was troubled. Many times trouble because of is on. Okay? The day I was saved, self came off the throne in my life. Jesus Christ became Lord and the ruler of my life. When Jesus Christ took his rightful place in my life, fit, made sense. Before, nothing in my life fit or made sense. If your life is just, you're going to lose it. You can't keep it. You're going to lose it. You're going to suffer loss. Whether it's health, wealth, or whatever that it is, you're going to suffer loss. That's the way this life is. What changed is when Christ came on the throne of my life, everything suddenly fit. You can call it a worldview or whatever you want to call it. In a worldview, I understand and the giver of life. I understand that I have nothing. Here I thought I owned everything. That's quite a burden when you think you're responsible for everything and you're going to have all kinds of problems. Here, I own nothing and my responsibility was solely one thing, and that was glorify Christ and keep him on the throne. That's it. Because he takes care of everything else. Whether it's health, wealth, aspirations, whatever it might be. So I don't have to do all this stuff anymore. Because he is absolutely sovereign, eternal, faithful, and has all power in heaven and on earth. You don't think for just a minute what you absolutely can. Nothing. Think about it. Your next breath, your next heartbeat, getting home, tomorrow. You have no control over that. None. He does. So now I can do something that I never could do here. Never could do that here. You know what I can do? I can rest. I can rest in Christ. I can rest in Christ because He loves me. He's able. He's faithful. And He knows. I'm not depending on self anymore, because self, He can't cut it. He can't do it. He's always going to fall short. Christ has overcome death, hell, and the grave. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm just passing through this world. And my worldview is that there is a Christ that loved me so much, He gave His own life on the cross that I might be redeemed and be saved. And so I can trust Him with everything. With everything. Do you know the weight that takes off you? When you allow Him to sit on the throne of your life and rule and reign, it takes all the weight off of you. He said, "Come to me, ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So this is what I'm talking about. When I'm talking to someone about being saved, and I'm trying to explain to them why life is so futile, and it is so empty, and it is so in vain, and why it seems like everything is going against them, and they can never get to where they think they ought to be, or accomplish what they think they ought to accomplish. It's because it's all about them. When it becomes all about Him, that changes everything. That changes everything. Do you see that? You see what I'm talking about? It's an amazing thing to me. It's so awesome to me because literally that's what my life looked like before I was saved. And I despised it. That's what my life looks like now. There's order. There's hope. There's grace. There's mercy. Mercies are new every day. So I wanted to show you, I stole one of Bill's butterscotch. I'm trying not to choke to death on it while I talk to you. I guess that's because I got his butterscotch. But I hope you can see visually what I'm talking about, that God does through Christ in our own lives. He puts everything together. Everything now fits. Everything now makes sense. And you say, well, look at this world. It's chaos. I know that. He said it would be. And it's probably going to get worse. But the one that has overcome death, hell, and the grave, I am more than an overcomer through Him. Okay, I just wanted to show you that visually tonight, what I was trying to explain to you last Sunday night. Because it's easier to see than it is to figure. And so that's why I went ahead and did that. It didn't cost you a thing. All right. Everyone needs an anchor for their life. For their soul. Everyone needs an anchor. Everybody needs something that they can nail to the wall and say, come hell or high water, I know this is true and I don't have to doubt it and I can rest my life upon it. And that's what Jesus is. He's the anchor. He's the anchor for your soul. He's the anchor for your life. And when you have Christ, you have everything you need. And so I wanted to share that with you tonight as we went through that. Okay, now then. I see where I left off this morning. Okay, we're looking at, actually, there's one other thing I want to share with you that's in verse 18 before we get to verse 19. Because we were talking about what we were saved from. What we were saved from. And it's here in verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. That we talked about that. That's just what I showed you a picture of what it looks like. Okay? The vain or the empty way of life. Nothing makes sense. Nothing fits. Nothing is together. You'll have no peace in your life as long as that is your life. It's only when Christ is on the throne of your life that everything fits and everything makes sense. He goes on to say, handed down to you from your forefathers. Another thing that we're saved from is tradition. You say, well, I've got some good traditions in my life, whether it's all of us gathering at Christmas or everything else. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about tradition, I'm talking about things that people believe because people have always believed it. Things that people believe because people have always believed it. Just because somebody believes something, that does not make it true. That does not make it true. Are y'all still not getting along? That's what I figured. Okay. If you, let's take like Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, or 100 other false religions. People believe them are true because people have believed it for years. The only way you know truth is by the one that is the truth through the Word of God. That's the only way you know truth is by the Word of God. You come to Scripture with preconceived ideas and things that's been taught you over the years. A rolling stone gathers no moss. That's not Scripture. May be true, but it's not Scripture. What I'm saying is that all false religions, many people believe because they've been believed for centuries. And they believe because they're still believed that they are true. Such is not the case. Truth only comes from the truth, thus saith the Lord. So whatever preconceived idea, notion, tradition, precept I have in my mind that someone has handed down to me, I can only gauge it as truth by the Word of God. So I am saved from tradition of men by being redeemed, by knowing the one who is the truth by the Word of God. And that's what I wanted, another thing that we're saved from by the Redeemer. Now, the next thing that I want to look at is not only what are we saved from, but who are we saved by? Who are we saved by? And he tells us here, verse 9, chosen your sake. So we were saved by the burial and the resurrection of Christ, but especially by the blood of Christ and as we stood of Christ. It was 200 million Jews in Egypt. Blood over the doorposts. There was blood everywhere, down every street, around every home, trying to say, don't that lamb represent it? The blood of a precious lamb. that died in your place, and by faith accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe he gave a good example this morning. I can't remember. So when he sees you, he sees Christ. He sees the by Christ. But most especially, we are saved by the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ. Those hymns should never be done away with. And so we see that as we ask then is how he tells us through him for your sake, he says, verse 21, through him you believe in God. You believe in God. So you were saved by faith alone in Christ alone. You were saved by faith alone in Christ alone. That adds anything to Christ or takes anything away from Christ. And let me say this. When you add anything to Christ, you have taken away from Christ. You have said Christ is not enough. So if anyone adds anything to Christ as a means of salvation, they are saying Christ is not enough. And it is blasphemy in the nostrils of a holy God that gave his only begotten Son that we might be saved. So it is grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. That's how we are saved by the blood of Christ. Now then, the next thing that we see is in that verse, we are not only saved, what are we saved for? What are we saved for? And let me say this. This wording in between is so important. Who raised him from the dead. Verse 21. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead. You say, why is that so important? Just like Nate preached this morning, Brother Nate. Justification. When God raised the Son from the dead, he was saying what he has done is sufficient to satisfy my wrath, and I can just in your place. God was saying what Christ said on the cross. So if anyone adds in shed blood, there is no such thing as baptismal regeneration. Baptism is a picture of what's already happened. It is symbolic of something that's already, it is important. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can give you an example. In my life, I was raised in church. You all have heard my testimony many times. Well, that's sorry, you got to hear it again. I was raised in church, okay? When I was a junior boy, 8, 9 years old, whatever it was, the pastor came into the pulpit on Sunday as we were having our opening exercises before our going to our Bible school classes, and he said these words, anybody here that wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. And my friend sitting next to me elbowed me in the side, and his name was Butch Reynolds. Some of you knew him. You know Butch. Yeah. And he elbowed me in the side, and Butch was a big old boy. He made two of me. He elbowed me in the side, and he said, you want to go to heaven, don't you? And I said, well, sure. He said, well, raise your hand. So I raised my hand. Later, the pastor came by, and he said, all you boys that raised your hand, I'd like for you to go over to the study. I would like to share the scriptures with you. So we went over there. And he took the Bible and he probably shared the Roman road. I don't remember for sure. But he was reading scriptures. And then he said, if you believe this is true and you want to be saved, then just pray this prayer. Just pray this prayer. Well, I bowed my head like everybody else and I prayed that prayer. Got through praying that prayer. I looked at the boy next to me and I said, you saved? He said, yeah. I said, I guess I am too. Lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Yeah. Next Sunday they took us in. They baptized us. I was baptized. I was baptized by the right mode, for the right reason, by the right source. I was baptized scripturally, except for one thing. I wasn't a believer. I've got to say, you can be baptized till the bullfrogs know your social security number, but that don't make you a Christian. Or a mouse can get in the cookie jar, but that don't make him a cookie. When you come to the point you realize it's not about you and you cannot rule your own life, that you're absolutely lost in your sin and you need a Savior, and you repent of your sin and you turn to faith in Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior in your life, let me guarantee you one thing, your life will change. And it's not because of anything you've done. It's all because of what He's done. It's all because of what He does. Baptism is a beautiful picture of that. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Now my example. I ain't even got to that yet. Have a good Lord. It's almost 6 o'clock. So here I am. They brought me before the church then the next Sunday. They said, these boys have been saved. So now that I was getting baptized. So I was baptized. Now I'm a member of the church. Now I'm about 25 years old in the church. I'm the custodian of the church. I get there before anyone else. I leave after everyone's gone. I teach a Sunday school class, and I'm lost as a goose. Lost. Do I know what the Bible says? Absolutely. If somebody come to me and said, do you believe in God? I'd say, absolutely. You know, Satan believes in God. That's why what Nate preached this morning and the way he gave an invitation was very important. Because one of the greatest mission fields we have is our membership list of many churches across the world. So later on, after that, I'm now about 30 years old. About 30 years old. And that same pastor comes back and preaches a revival at the church that brought all us boys together. And he gets up and preaches. You wouldn't believe this. I'm in the choir. I'm a singer. Yeah. Boy, they were desperate. I'm in the choir. And as he's preaching, the Holy Spirit of God looks down on this old boy from Massac County and says, that's you. You're absolutely lost. And I knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. They call it conviction. I was convicted of my lost condition and my sin. That's where Satan comes in. They all think you're saved. It would be an embarrassment if you go forward. Stay right where you are. Most miserable days of my life were about 2 or 3 days that followed that. Finally, I was at work at CTS Corporation in Paducah. And I knew I was lost. And I wanted to be saved more than I wanted to breathe. God is my witness. And I thought, I'm going to go tell my boss I've got to leave for personal reasons. And I'm going to go find that preacher. And I thought, I'm going to go find Mom. Don't know a better Christian on earth than my mom. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, it's just like God spoke from heaven and said, you don't need anything but Christ. And right there with people running forklifts up and down the aisle, names coming over the loudspeaker, and everybody working around me, I prayed and said, Lord, forgive my sins. I know I'm lost. And I invited Christ into my heart. And in a millisecond, God changed my life. God changed my life. All right, now that just gets me to my illustration. Here's what Satan said. You know you're saved. Absolutely I did. No doubt. I knew I was saved. You've already been baptized. You're already a member of the church. You don't have to tell anybody. So I didn't. For 5 years. For 5 years. I didn't tell anybody. Was I saved? Absolutely. Would I died? I'd have went to heaven? Absolutely. Some of my greatest revelations have come to me from the bathroom. I'm standing in front of the mirror shaving. I'm standing in front of the mirror shaving. And I look in the mirror, and honest to God, this is my witness. This is what went through my head. Hasn't Satan whipped you long enough? And as I stood there shaving, tears began to run down my cheeks. I said, yeah. And I went in the kitchen to my wife, and I told her how I was saved and when I was saved. Brother Greg Geltner was a pastor. He lived across the street from where I live. We were good friends. I went over and told him. We cried, we snotted, we run all over the house, we shouted, we did everything. The next Sunday, I went before the church and told them the same thing. I told them the truth about how God had saved my soul. And I told them, I want to be baptized. This is God's truth. 6 months after I was baptized, God called me to preach. 6 months after God called me to preach, I was already in school at Mid-Continent. I became the interim pastor at Caven Rock First Baptist Church. 6 months after I became the interim pastor of the First Baptist Church, God called me to Waldo. God began to open doors faster than I could walk through them when I became obedient. It's a very simple thing we have here, brothers and sisters. Just simply obey God. Just simply believe God above every life. You're not near as old as I am. He not only cut my hair, he was a great brother in Christ. He's cutting my hair one day and he begins to chuckle. And I said, Bobby, what are you laughing about? He said, I can't believe how good God is to you. I said, I can't believe how great God is and how he's blessed my life. And we just talked about that. Bobby's in heaven now. His wife, Mary, she's in a assisted living over in Kentucky. What am I saying? I'm saying it pays to serve the Lord. It pays every day. Every day. Just simply obey God. That's all you have to do. He'll do everything else. And what a ride. What a ride it is. So he says, he raised him from the dead and glorified him. He glorified him because the work was finished. And he had been what? Obedient to the Father. Obedient to the Father. And so your faith and hope are in God. Your faith and your hope are in God. Now then, let me get my notes out here. I've got 3 minutes. That's what I got. I just want to share some scriptures with you. Titus 2:14. Christ Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession. For his own possession. I don't belong to Jack anymore. I belong to Christ. And believe me, it's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the protokos of the dead, and that's a Greek word, and I probably didn't pronounce it right, but this is what it means. It means the preeminent one, the preeminent one out of the dead. The preeminent one out of the dead. What does that mean? That means that because he rose from the dead, the preeminent one, the eternal one, the only one, we can be justified through him. He's the first fruits, if you will, of the resurrection. And I don't worry. You worry about that? I don't worry about my resurrection at all. I don't worry about that at all. Because I know as surely as my Savior rose from the dead, so shall I. He is the first fruits. All right. Now listen to this. It goes on to say, the preeminent one out of the dead, the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and listen to this, released us from our sins by his blood. Released us from our sins by his blood. And this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And it's in Revelation, and I am going to turn there. And let me tell you something, the youth are coming in here in just a minute. And that's a good thing, because they're going to join all of us in a prayer time, okay? In Revelation chapter 5, it's talking about the one that sat upon the throne. The right hand of him, he held the scroll, writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. And they're saying, who is able to take the scroll and to open the scroll? And then in verse 6 of the 5th chapter of Revelation, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, and that word means violently killed, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders, and he had seven horns and seven eyes. That means he had all authority and all wisdom, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth, and he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe that I will be there, and I will sing this song in heaven one day. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased. You redeemed men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, and they circled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and glory and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to sing that with them one day. I'm going to sing that with them one day. Now think about that. And we get so upset if our car has a scratch on it, if we get sick, if we don't get something we think we ought to get, or we don't have something we think we ought to have, how easily is our hope through? We're just passing through. This life is only a speed bump on eternity. I can worship my Savior every day. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is, a salvation.